Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. And on our line right now, radio.com sports NFL insider Ross Tucker. He is the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Radio.com sports NFL insider. You can catch every weekday on Home and Home, his new show on radio.com, an Ivy League guy who played in the league. It's good to have him on to talk about a very interesting weekend of football all around the NFL, starting specifically with what happened here in the Bay Area. Ross, always good to have you on. Ross appears on the Dial Pad guest line. Mr. Tucker, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, but probably not as good as you guys are doing. People have Niners fever out there or what?
Well, look, I think everyone's excited about 3-0, and everyone has to be excited about getting away with the equivalent of football murder. Like, you don't win games where you turn the ball over that many times. You don't win games when you turn the ball over that late. And the 49ers are looking at a perfect record going into their bye week thanks to defense and a Steelers offense that really couldn't get anything going.
Well, and especially the way in which they turned it over. I mean, I was sitting there thinking, you got to be kidding me. The fifth turnover is the receiver comes in motion and knocks. I mean, it looked like Bad News Bears stuff. And for them to still be able to win that game is really impressive. I always thought, you know, when I was playing and even just being an analyst now, when you win, even though you don't play your best, that's a really good sign. And the Niners, it was their first game without Staley, so they got the rookie at left tackle, and they have five turnovers. Not only just the five turnovers, they allowed two long touchdown passes. I think I tweeted this, at Ross Tucker NFL. I can't remember the last time a team had five turnovers and gave up two long touchdown passes, the Juju Smith-Schuster and the Deontay Johnson double move, and still won the game, which is great for the Niners and real, real bad for the Steelers.
It sounds like they cheated.
They didn't cheat. They just were able to make, I mean, they moved the ball very well. It's unbelievable to me watching them that no matter what running back they put in, it seems like they're pretty effective. I just love their running style and how hard they're able to get those guys to play. I mean, they just come flying in, whether it's Mostert or Wilson or Breida or whoever. They are fun to watch.
Given that, and given that they've sort of won, you know, with defense in a running game at least two of the 3 weeks, and maybe even all three if you want to make that argument, are they a team that is overcoming its quarterback, or are they a team waiting for its quarterback to hit his stride?
I would say it's more the latter. I think Jimmy did some good things against the Bengals. He did a lot of really bad things against the Bucs. That's another one where it's kind of unbelievable, thanks to Jameis Winston and his turnovers, that they won that game. But he did a bunch of good things against the Bengals. I thought he did some good things yesterday. And this is just going to be part of the process, I think, for him having not really played that much and coming off the torn ACL. But that would probably be what would be most encouraging to me, is that they're 3-0. I don't know if they've played great yet, and certainly you'd like to think that Garoppolo can play even better, and I think he will. I really do. He makes enough good, accurate throws. I think he will just keep getting better, which is a great sign for them. I mean, before the year, every radio station I go on always says, who's your surprise team? Who's your surprise team? And I said the 49ers most of the time, and I thought that they'd beat their Vegas win total. But that one preseason game where Jimmy looked awful, I think it was maybe Green Bay, that was concerning. And then even week one, I thought, man, that's not going to be a good call by me. Now I almost feel the opposite. Now I almost feel like they've got a pretty good chance to win the division. Seattle's really showing some warts. I know the Rams are 3-0, but the Rams don't look like the Rams. The Rams don't look right. I think that this division is really there for the taking.
So this is a perhaps oddly specific and technical question, but it came up yesterday. Justin Skule, who you mentioned, the rookie replacement at left tackle, had a rough sequence where he got called for back-to-back penalties, the first being a holding, the second a illegal blindside hit, except that the guy he blocked was looking right at him. So I'm wondering if you can provide me some insight as to what happened there. Is it just the direction of the block? And how long has that rule been in place, and how often does it actually get called?
I think it was a bad call.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Well, it is the direction of the block. It does not matter whether or not he's looking at you or not. And they've changed it each of the last 2 years. So 2 years ago, you were no longer allowed to deliver a hit to the head or neck area on a blindside block. They were considered a defenseless player on a blindside block like that, and you were not allowed to deliver a blow to the neck or head area. This year, they changed it again, where you're not allowed to make any kind of forcible contact. You literally have to either lead with your hands or almost just shield or throw a pick. There can't be any forcible contact, which I think is really difficult on multiple levels. So, number one, you know, that would just be hard in the heat of the moment to be thinking, okay, is this guy, am I going back towards my line of scrimmage? Am I supposed to hit this guy? Am I not supposed to? The other thing, though, is there are situations where that guy is running full speed to try to tackle your ball carrier, and if you have to kind of let up, or use your hands, a lot of times by definition, since it's blindside, that guy can't see you. So I almost wonder if the blockers themselves are going to start to get blown up by the fact that they're not allowed to deliver a forcible blow, but they don't tell that to the defender. But yes, that is the rule. If you are going back towards the ball or your line of scrimmage, you cannot deliver a forcible blow. They want you to lead with your hands, shield, pick, maybe even rip through across his face. That is a new rule. It's a point of emphasis for them to call that.
Ross Tucker here on 95.7 The Game. Let's talk about a fellow Ivy Leaguer. Kyle Juszczyk yesterday had himself a really good game for a fullback. He had an amazing layout catch where he made it on the fingertips. He also stiff-armed Minka Fitzpatrick, almost back to Miami. I mean, that's how hard he hit him yesterday. I'm surprised you see the effectiveness of the 49ers running game, the fact that they still implement a fullback, that this is a weapon that's gone away in this league.
Well, first of all, we can debate whether or not Harvard's really an Ivy League school. I think it's a good second option. If you can't get into Princeton, the number one ranked school in the country 9 years straight, according to U.S. News or World Report.
Harvard was your safety school? Safety school, right?
You know what's funny? I did early action at Harvard and got accepted like October of my senior year of high school.
Duh.
While all my buddies were applying to Bloomsburg and Kutztown in Pennsylvania.
Look at the big brains on
Harvard.
Ross Tucker.
Yeah, well, guess what? I didn't have a prayer in heck of getting into either one without football. I can tell you that much right now. Not a prayer in heck. In fact, the valedictorian of my high school got denied by both. I kind of felt a little bit bad about that because all I wanted to do was go to Penn State and play football. All he wanted to do was go to Harvard or Princeton. And I guess I took his spot or whatever. 1550 SATs that kid had, by the way. But anyway, I digress. I love Juszczyk. I've done a million of his games in college. I've always loved him. And I also love, you look at like Juszczyk and Devlin for the Patriots who went to Brown. It always, you know, cracks me up and I love it when it's the Ivy League guys dishing out the punishment and being the toughest guys on the field. I think it's one of the reasons why Kyle Shanahan's offenses have had success. I think it's one of the reasons for the Patriots' success, because so few teams use fullbacks that what happens is you play against them and they use so many formations with multiple tight ends or two-back sets, which if you're in a two-back set, that automatically forces the defense to be in regular personnel. So they're not going to be in nickel. They're not going to have an extra defensive back in there because you've got a two-back set and there are a lot of runs that you can do from a two-back set. And that's when you can really get some matchup nightmares. And if you have a good one like Juszczyk, he can be an absolute weapon both in the run and pass game. He's been huge for the Niners. They paid him a lot. We have the same agent. I was surprised how much they paid him. I was happy how much they paid him. But I think Kyle Shanahan realized when everybody else is zigging and making the fullback extinct, it was a good time for him to zag. And if you look at it, some of the best teams are the teams that are using a fullback like that.
Wait, so you guys got the same agent? Which one of the Winklevoss twins is it?
You know what's funny about that? Our agent Joe Linta went to Yale, which is even worse, by the way. Yale's like not even on the radar. Princeton or Harvard, we can have like friendly jokes back and forth. But Yale's like, you don't even joke with them because they know it's true and it'll legitimately hurt their feelings.
So how do real Ivy League guys feel about Stanford, by the way? You jealous? Or do you look down from your Ivy League tower at Stanford?
No, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Stanford because you get to go to a school that's that good, but yet also play Power 5 football. I'm very jealous. And as much as I love Princeton, if Stanford would have offered me a full ride, that's where I would have gone.
There you go.
Those guys, but you know what's interesting? There are more Ivy League guys in the NFL than any other FCS conference. So you think about all the FCS football all across the country with all the 63 scholarships, and yet the Ivy League, there's something to it. You know, they end up getting a bunch of guys that have, I turned down some scholarship offers. There's a bunch of guys that turned down Power 5, Group of 5 offers because they think, man, if I can go to somewhere like Princeton or Harvard, and it works, by the way. Like, I have friends, they weren't even that smart. They all have good jobs. It's
well, you know
like
what
a
they
fraternity,
say?
And you're in it.
You know what they say about Stanford? If you're smart enough to get offered, there's no way you're stupid enough to turn it down.
That's a good point. I don't know what's happened with them, by the way.
Boy.
They've really dropped off this year.
They don't run the ball as well as they used to, and their quarterback is very uneven. So they've always said sort of a problematic offense anyway, but now they just really struggle to move the ball up and down the field. Unlike a powerhouse
Cal. I love David Shaw, and I could make a joke about bringing Harbaugh back, but that's not even funny at this point.
No, it's really not.
No, hey, Rutgers would turn that one down.
Ross, go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead. I want to go from the powerhouse that is the Ivy League to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that's a serious step down, but humor me for a second. They've now looked awful 2 weeks in a row. They're going to Indianapolis to play a really funky Colts team. If they don't do well this week, given their history, are they more or less likely to just go right into the gurgler?
Well, I think the one of Gruden's strengths, And we don't know this about Mayock yet, but I would think would be being process oriented and getting the guys to play hard, even if things aren't going well. But I do think there's something to that, Ray. You know, I mean, I played for 5 teams, and it's unbelievable. Like when I was in New England, we didn't like think we were going to win. Like you knew you were going to win, and Brady has a lot to do with that. Meanwhile, when I was like in Buffalo, there's no question, and nobody says it out loud, but it's like a subconscious thing where there's almost a here we go again thought process when things start to go poorly. And I'd like to hope that doesn't happen with the Raiders, but there are reasons why bad teams are bad. There's a reason why it's hard to, like coaches like to say, change the culture and all that stuff. If it were easy, everyone would do it. It's really hard, especially when you're the coach in Detroit or Cleveland. Like, wait till you see what happens to the Browns the next few weeks, because their schedule doesn't get any easier. They're going to lose a few more games. There's going to be infighting. And I'd be shocked if the Browns even got to 500 this year. That's my prediction. And I think the Raiders are in danger of kind of falling apart as well, just because there will be speculation about Derek Carr's job. There'll be, oh, this and that. And I just think it's a really hard thing to overcome in the battle through.
So I know what you just said about the Browns, and obviously the offensive line is one of the weaker parts of that team. But watching Aaron Donald last night, I've never seen anything quite like it. My question is just, is he entering the conversation for best defensive lineman of all time?
Yeah, he is. He is. What's interesting about that, though, is I think when J.J. Watt was, whatever he was, back-to-back defensive player of the year or 2 and 3 years or whatever, people were starting to have that conversation. I mean, I think if you get to the point where you're back-to-back defensive player of the year and he's playing very well this year, I think you have to start to have that conversation. He is incredible. He reminds me of a bunch of the guys I played against and was not able to block, like Leroy Glover, Warren Sapp, and your guy, Bryant Young. I remember playing against BY a couple times, and wow, was he good. And Donald is like those guys times 10. I mean, he's just so much faster off the ball. He seems very skilled in every way. It's very, very impressive because, you know, I've been in those meetings. Everything they're doing is to try to get a double on him. Like, they're trying to it's almost easier to take away an inside guy than an edge guy, and yet he's still doing it snap after snap after snap. I really hope he stays healthy so that he gives himself a chance to be in that conversation with the Reggie Whites and LTs and Bruce Smith and whoever else is in that conversation. It's just very hard to do when you're his size and you're playing inside. It's hard to play 10-plus years with what he's putting his body through every year. I think, you know what helps him? I think the fact that he didn't go to training camp the last couple of years helped him. Hey, I don't know why they even had him go to camp this year. He should have done the same thing he did the last 2 years, which is show up week one healthy and fresh with all kinds of juice in his legs.
Hey, let's keep this, we're talking with Ross Tucker, radio.com. You want to check out his podcast. Let's keep this Antonio Brown free, and we'll finish with a Monday Night Football question. Since you're working the game tonight, do you think Trubisky and Nagy finally wake up the Chicago offense this evening?
I think they'll be better tonight, if only because the Redskins' defense is really struggling. They've given up over 30 points both games to the Eagles and the Cowboys, which is weird, by the way, because, you know, they've invested a lot of money on the defensive side of the ball. Ryan Kerrigan, Josh Norman, Landon Collins, they're not playing nearly well enough on defense for the money that they've spent on those guys. So I think that they'll be a little bit better. The problem with Trubisky, he's just not that good. And I think last year it was a miracle that they won 12 games. He's one of those guys that he'll make a couple of amazing throws each game, but then he'll also have five throws that you're like, what was that? Two or three of them are right to a dude on the other team. Two or three are not even close. Ray is so old that maybe he can think of somebody that I can't, but who's the guy that had those accuracy issues where five times a game they would have an inexplicable throw and then all of a sudden solve that? I can't think of that person that did that. I don't know who that is.
Every Bears quarterback since Billy Wade.
I was going to say, as a Bears fan, I got some names for you. Rex Grossman comes to mind.
Yeah, Tom Zach, Harbaugh, Peter Tom Willis, Eric Kramer.
Moses Moreno.
There's a lot.
If it weren't for gravity, the Bears couldn't play at all.
Ross, have a great call tonight, man. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.